Two CEOs look ahead to the future from very different vantage points. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for the download. Today, we're going to bring you expectations for the future from two aviation CEOs. They both have jet development programs, they're both excited about the future, and we spoke with both of them at NBAA last fall. Other than that, they have little in common, but they'll both be making news. Jim Campbell's first question for Cessna CEO Jack Pelton had to do with the Citation's new look.
We were out in Wichita a couple of weeks ago. While we were out there, we had a chance to take a look at a number of projects, one of which was just such an attractive accoutrement to the Citation 10 series, the winglets. They're gorgeous.
The winglets have been a long time in development. As you know, Cessna kind of had a history of not wanting winglets on their airplanes for what reasons, I'm not sure. But we worked long and hard to come up with winglet technologies, come up with the right winglet for the airplane. We're seeing performance benefits out of them. We haven't published any real numbers yet, but everybody that's flown flights on them have said that there's a lot there to be had with them, and we think it's going to be a big seller in the aftermarket for existing 10s. And who knows, when we announce our next version of the 10, yet to be determined, it probably will have winglets on it standard.
One of the other things that we're very excited to see, of course, is that R&D is an unmitigated process at Cessna.
We're still spending as a percentage of revenue higher than we have even in our past on R&D, even in these tough times. So we're trying to get a pipeline of new products coming following this recession. And I can't go fast enough, but my guys are trying to do all the right things so that we'll have a solid field of products going forward.
One of the things we're hearing an awful lot about is from the Mustang community. A lot of our friends who came up in the piston or light turbine world are now transitioning.
The reports have all been very consistent, which is it does everything that we said it would do. The fuel burns on it are nothing short of remarkable, and the maintenance on it's been minimal. So it's a really attractive value proposition. And, you know, it's safe, it's easy to fly. People transitioning from a TBM or any high-performance single is, I think, a piece of cake.
Well, there's a lot to be said for the entry-level turbine market right now, and obviously there's been a lot of activity in that area, and a lot of it's gone by the wayside. Is there more in the Mustang class to be seen from Cessna?
I think as the technology emerges, there is. I mean, I think we've got a good start, but it was dependent on getting the right engine and the right avionics system to be able to bring the price point down. And we keep pushing engine and system suppliers to push the envelope a little bit to see, is there something that could come out that's smaller? It needs to be priced under a Mustang. And certainly it's easy to grow it into the Citation family. But I'm hoping that we'll be able to do something to continue to come down market, which will help fill a gap that's needed to be filled.
One of my best friends up at St. Augustine, what would now be a Corvallis TT owner, and he's bragging he's about to get synthetic vision. So that's coming down the line for the Corvallis series?
It is. We certified it first on the Mustang, and then for the Corvallis it was to be a follow-on. We just, Garmin certifies it first, then we've got to certify it specifically the aircraft application, and we're that close to having that done and ready for the Corvallis. I've flown it on the Mustang. I haven't flown it on the Corvallis, but it's very impressive technology, especially if you're flying in mountainous terrain and in low visibility weather.
And final question. There was some conversations this morning I had with Joe Lombardo, both this morning and a couple of weeks ago at the rollout of the G650, about whether or not this industry needs to be thinking about, rather than reactive to the bad press and the bad news, but start being proactive to the next slam dunk bad media story.
You know, these cycles have come and gone before. If you talk to anybody that's been in the industry for a long time, we run through cycles of negative press. And I think we've all, as an industry, Joe and I are talk frequently as to saying it's time we just have an ongoing campaign and not quit making this a reactive campaign and get our message out there. And during good times, all it can do is help expand the use of business aviation. So, yeah, you get complacent during the good times.
There are now 300 Citation Mustangs in the hands of owners. Find out more at Cessna.com. In a moment, the new CEO of a small company developing its first jet. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. a Garmin WAS Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin WAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Platt. We're hearing comments today from two aviation CEOs who have little but their enthusiasm in common. Jack Pelton heads Cessna, which next year will celebrate a century since its founder's first aircraft, and is now part of Textron. Next, Jim Campbell's conversation with Alexander Craig, recently installed as the new CEO of Stratus Aircraft. The Stratus 714, currently under development, is the company's first product. And the logical first question is, with so many developers trying to do small jets, what's special about this one?
What makes Stratus a potentially different premise?
Number one, we have the advantage to learn from both what's happened well and what has failed with our predecessors. Number two, we're not using any new technology. All the major systems are already certified. The processes are already certified. So it's our privilege to take a great design and implement it with existing technology. And number three, we're driving the execution as a business. We're not trying to build an airplane and they will come. We're trying to build a profitable business with excellent return on investment for our investors.
If you can, synopsize the Stratus 714.
The Stratus 714 fills the niche in the market that none other have touched. Number one, it flies farther and faster, 41,000 feet and over 400 knots for 1,500 nautical miles. And it does so with luxury. There's room in the back seat. There's comfort for both pilot and passenger, as well as digital automation that makes it easy to fly.
Now, a single-piloted 400-knot aircraft would be operating at 41,000 feet. Obviously, one of the things that's going to have to be built into this is handling qualities. That's a rough environment for anybody.
The beauty of this system is because we have the thrust on the center line, on the center of pressure, and because we're only slightly transonic, we don't deal with a number of the issues at high altitude, high speed. In addition, the other question you haven't asked yet is, what happens if we lose the engine or depressurization? We're looking to implement the flight profile similar to what the Gulfstream 550 and 650 will have shortly, which is auto-flight emergency descent. In addition, as a carbon composite airplane, we don't leak pressurization like an aluminum airplane does. Thus, we've got a much more secure pressure vessel, and by immediately closing the outflow valve, we can hold pressurization much, much longer.
What kind of considerations are you given to the cockpit for this aircraft?
As a pilot, as a flight instructor, having been trained on TAA aircraft, including the Garmins and the Avadines and the Bendix King Honeywell systems, and being an alumni from the avionics business, I'm intimately familiar with both the challenges and the opportunity. And we're in the process of talking to each and every one of the major vendors for their best integrated cockpit solution. But ultimately, it will be driven by our customers.
$2
million? $2 million today. That is correct.
And about when would we expect something like this foreseeably on the market?
We're looking to operate with quiet competence at this point. So let us get a little bit farther down, lock the risk, lock the schedule. And when we're at 99% comfort with that, we will make that announcement.
Well, Alex, we look forward to hearing about that and down the line getting a chance to fly the airplane.
We look forward to showing it to you.
Find more details on the Stratus 714 and follow its development at stratusaircraft.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.